Let's bring him on in right now, early and often, ladies and gentlemen. We are back, another edition. The show's hot. The boys are hot. It's a beautiful episode we have prepped up today. Fellas, Joey D, Mikey V, let's clap it on up now, fellas. Let's really, really get wired in. I need more out of you there, Joey D. I need more.
Guy looks like he's at a funeral.
Muffled.
I disagree. I thought he came in Lima Charlie, loud and clear.
Damn, that sucks, because I thought that was a good intro. Am I still muffled?
Yeah. No muffle. No muffle.
Am I okay? I hear a little bit better now.
Fuck, I was so fired up. I feel like that kind of just took the air
out of the room. Joe doesn't have the headphones in, though. If you don't have the headphones.
I got to buy a new laptop.
Yeah.
You got to buy a new laptop.
Hey, Joe, that's a write-off. That's a write-off.
Yeah, hey, it is.
Last time I checked, Joey D, that belongs to Joey Cold Cuts LLC.
Yeah. It sure does.
I checked, look at Joey D, the best water in the game, and it's not even close. What water is that there, Joey D?
Essentia.
Essentia is a great water.
There was the Essentia water. Fellas, good news. Your boy just got approved for his apartment. So I'm going to be new.
Wow.
Yeah.
You got to see this thing. It's like the kids living in freaking Manhattan in a freaking two bedroom.
Nice.
Got a loft. He sent me a video, Mikey V. Bobby Bougie in the house. That's not where I was going with this at all. I said, let me see your new apartment. He sent me a video. I thought I was watching an episode of Crips.
Oh, that's so ridiculous.
The Uber Eats drivers will be proud to deliver Starbucks to that establishment. You can rest assured on that.
I'll tell you what.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's just not where I was going with it.
Is this why he posted a meal of caviar French fries?
By the way, that looked terrible.
And by the way, he wouldn't call it fries because he didn't want to get lambasted, I'm sure, by the community. So instead, he named them frites. Caviar frites. Everyone knows they're French fries. Bob, what is caviar frites?
I got the floor?
Yeah, you got to answer for that. Baby beluga whale caviar over French fries. Something's got to be said there. That's outrageous. Preposterous.
It really is.
All right, first things first, we were at a seafood place. Okay. So what? And the way that they put it on the menu, it was caviar frites, and it looked really good. It was $25. I didn't know how it would come. And honest to God, it was very, very good.
It was disco fries with fucking caviar.
The thing is, though, I would prefer to have it. Like when we used to go to Joe's restaurant, obviously it was better there, but a lot of places, if they ever do caviar, it's on like a little, like why not put it on a French fry? You know what I mean? Like French fries are so good. Like why do we have to get too fancy with it to where the caviar is already fancy?
It's fancy. It's just the ultimate snob move to eat caviar though. I mean, I'm not saying that I wouldn't have it, but serve it over French fries is absurd, Bob. It's absurd.
But if it's served over French fries, I don't think it's a snob move. If I could go back to it, I wouldn't have posted it because it's an obnoxious, but I thought it was a really cool thing. I really did.
You're talking to the same guy who gets ice cream delivered in dry ice. I mean, what
I'm taking, I'll tell you what, man.
I mean, taking a beating.
I'm just talking
about a guy who's going to be at the Yankee game this season. He's going to have caviar top Cracker Jacks.
Bob, you've worked hard. You're allowed to enjoy the fruits of your labor.
Wow. The reason, and I appreciate that, Joey D, the reason that I was going to mention the apartment thing is so much of me getting the apartment, and I swear to God, it is right next to Vito's Pizzeria, Joey D, one of our favorite pizzerias.
That couldn't have had a detriment. That couldn't have had any additional reasoning to you getting the place.
Joe, you'd be surprised.
Oh, it would for me. Location is so key, bro.
Joey D.
Oh, the fact that you're near a pizza place? Like, Mikey.
But Joe, it's Vito's.
You know what it is, if you're over there, some areas of Jersey, if you're in a certain area of New Jersey, you're pretty much 10 minutes out from any good place you want to go to. But there's places in New Jersey I would literally not move to where I got buddies living out in these counties in West Jersey that they got to drive 25, 30 minutes for a good pizza pie. That's unacceptable. I could not live like that.
This Vito's pizza in regards to like a quick Caesar. First off, the slice is the closest thing you're going to find to the East Coast. Is it not a great slice, Joey D?
It's a good, very good slice. Yeah.
Great slice. It's a great slice. Their Caesar salad is one of the best Caesar salads, like a lunch or even dinner, like Caesar salad. And I might have said this before, but I feel like it doesn't get enough. People don't talk about how important it is, consistency in restaurants. Like when you like something, to get the same thing every single time. You know, I feel like some places try and, am I wrong there, Joey D, where some places try and, you know, reinvent the wheel? Like if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
They did serve you Caesar salad on a pizza slice. I mean,
I've had the grilled chicken but that Caesar was more slice for... before. I think it's delicious. If it's done right, I think it's delicious.
I've never tried grilled that before. That's not for me, but I will say we've gone there many times. The pizza is good. The service is nice. They're friendly. They take care of us because we go there a lot. I think once they started seeing Perez go in, I'll be honest, I'm not trying to when he started coming to LA and he started seeing how much money we were spending there, the demeanor and everything from them changed. Like, they've been so good to us. And like last time they gave us free ziti.
You got a moose.
The girl on the counter is always nice and friendly with Perez. I think bringing Perez there was a game changer. I think they realized that they had gold on their hands and they didn't want to lose. They didn't want to lose out.
And Perez loves it, man. Perez loves that place.
Well, I mean, that's in Perez's wheelhouse. A nice pizzeria is right in his wheelhouse. I mean, you chicken fingers, pizza. I mean, that's like me taking
chorizo tacos.
Me taking Dominic to lunch is pretty much the same thing as me taking Perez to lunch. Chicken fingers and pizza is going to be a hit in his league any day of the week.
By the way, Joe, I'm going to send this to you. Mikey V, I'm not sure if you saw it. I'll send it to you, too. Perez, you talk about a place that just does not have good food, and I'll probably get buried in the comments by some Virginia. He ordered a pizza. Did he send you that, Mikey V?
Yeah, he did.
Look at that pie he got. Is that the most disgusting piece of pizza?
There you go, right there, Joe. There you go. Yep.
And we're not going to.
You know what I asked him, Joe? I said, Perez, what is that? A bubble gum pizza? It looks like just melted bubble gum on top of a pie.
He sent it. Do you believe that pie there, Joey D?
First and foremost, it looks soggy. It looks like
It looks like chewed bubble gum.
It's brutal. There's
way too much
man.
Cheese, and then the dough is not—it's not crispy looking at all. It looks undercooked.
People have to live like that.
You know, too, what I've noticed is it's so important. I feel like with the crust to have it really well done, because if you have too doughy of a crust, if you go by a pizza shop and you watch people sitting down, if they leave the crust on the plate. The crust should be such a crucial part of the pizza where so many people leave the crust on the plate because it's too doughy.
I have like a real phobia of undercooked pizza crust. Like it's a legitimate phobia to where when we order pizza to the house and Holly goes nuts, she hates it. I always say on the phone, yeah, extra well done. Like I'll be like, I need one large pie. One large pie, extra well done. And she'll be like, stop ordering it extra well done. Because around here, they do it automatically. They do a well done crust automatically. But I have such a phobia of that kind of a disaster showing up to my front door that I just have a phobia of it. So I always order well done pie. But well done pie here is like a legitimate thing. There's a box on the pizza box itself for like where you could tick off well done. So it's not like it's exclusive to me. I'm the only person who orders pizza.
I like that option because you order a burger and they ask how you want the burger cooked, right? Like there's different elements of like how you like pizza. I can't imagine anybody who likes
it. Burger is different for me too. Like I want my steak almost to rare, but my burger's got to be medium. I can't have like a mushy to rare burger.
But Mikey, in regards to the pizza, the only thing I worry about for you is I get saying it well done, but if you say extra well done,
that's why she gets very upset.
That
she yells at me every
time.
I've been better though.
Right, but have you got times where they did go overboard? Because you can't really blame them for going overboard.
To me, you can't go overboard. If the crust gets delivered and it's it's the color of a blank television screen, if it's like charred black like that, then yeah, that's a. But I've never had that happen.
Mike, if you had to be the only kid who was actually happy when Santa Claus gave him a lump of coal. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was not undercooked. It was not undercooked.
To me, it could never be well done. I like extra crispy. Like, I always have with anything in regards to bread. Like, if I get a sub too, man, there's nothing worse than getting a sub sandwich to me and the bread gets soggy because there's just too much going on the sub and the bread can't hold up to it. That's a problem. That's a big problem.
Yeah, I've noticed out here in LA, I think everyone else is all the, you know, the pizza, the bagels and stuff like that. You can find select spots with pizza and bagels. I think the spot outside of one spot really that me and Joe know, the thing that you really can't get is subs, is good subs. We got one sub shop, Bay Cities. That's the one sub shop. After Bay Cities, it's gone. You can't find anything.
I think it depends. Like when you get like a sub sandwich around here, like you're getting a sandwich. Like, are you talking about like a deli meat sub sandwich? Like you're just going for a classic Italian, or you're going for, you know, turkey and cheese, or ham and cheese, or roast beef? Or are you talking about like a big Mama Jama, like a fucking like chicken cutlet, wet fresh mozzarella, balsamic glaze, long hot pepper?
You know,
like,
what
that's might be, that's a sinker. I mean, that's a meal.
A little bit of
torpedo.
Both.
Yeah, I
bit,
hear you.
A little bit of both. I honestly really don't think you could really find either. That's tough. Ones that are able to get you by. Folks, our next sponsor is a sponsor that I just so happen to use and take every single day, a product that I use and take every single day, Athletic Greens. You cannot go wrong when you're taking Athletic Greens. I wanted better mental health, physical health, gut health, and that is exactly what Athletic Greens does. You cannot go wrong when you go Athletic Greens. With one delicious scoop of Athletic Greens, you are absorbing 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole food source, superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens. You can't go wrong. It starts your day right. I do it. I take one scoop of the Athletic Greens, down it with the water, and I am good to go. Mentally, I feel great. Physically, I feel great. After a workout, I use it, and it is absolutely terrific. Now, to make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and five free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/dumb. Again, that's athleticgreens.com/dumb. Right now, it's time to reclaim your health and arm your immune system with convenient daily nutrition. Do it with Athletic Greens. You can't go wrong. All right, fellas. Well, we got a big one today. We got Ryan Clark coming on today. I'm sure he's going to want to talk a little bit of football. It's unbelievable how cold
we're on
we
life
are
support. We're on life support.
We're on life support. And you know what? I called Joe.
Our
six
teamer went 0 for 6.
Did it go 0 for 6?
Oh my God. Did it go 0 for 6?
0 for 6.
Disgusting.
Well, at least we're losing in style.
It was just, I'm going to say this, and I said this earlier today. I tweeted it out. The quality of football this season, outside of a few pockets of small greatness, and maybe Ryan would agree, I don't know if I'm going to bring it up, I think the quality of football this year, whether it's due to the rule changes, some rule changes, the officiating, the scheduling, the quality of football, playoffs and regular season, to me this year is in shambles compared to what it was last year. I think it fell off so bad this year. I just think the playoffs this year, think about how sick the playoffs were last year. Do you guys remember? It was like every game came down to the last play.
That Rams Bucks game and then the Bills Chiefs game that same
your
day.
The Packers Niners game, Joe, the Titans game against the Bengals. All those games were so incredible. And then this year, it's just been clunker after
this
clunker.
Eagles game was one of the most boring games
ever. Oh, it was terrible. Eagles Giants was a bad game. Jaguars Chiefs was meh. And then the only good game really was when the Jaguars came back down 27 against, that was the best game against the Chargers.
But
last night's game was great. Don't get me wrong, but the officials really, really dropped the ball so many times.
It was so bad.
I'm just not a believer in, and I know a lot of people like it. I've never been a fixed game type of guy because in order to fix a football game, the amount or any sport, like the amount that has to go into it, the amount of people that I got to get in, and eventually something like that would come up. And I don't think by any means it was, but if somebody were to ever make a case, it got to a point last night with some of those penalties where
you had multiple verified analysts all over Twitter saying NFL is rigged.
You had one of them.
Legitimate journalists saying the NFL is rigged. Like they weren't. Now, to me, Bob, I agree with you 100%. I think the issue lies more in than anything else is the consistency with the calling across the league with the different groups of officials is not there at all. There's no consistency. These crews call it the way they want to call it. Some officials want to be more involved with the game than others. Some officials seem like they want to be on in front of the television more than others. And they make these calls. How can you call that holding call after you gave Kansas City a free third down on that? Let's do the play over. And then they have the balls to call a hold. To me, that's just a guy who wants to be in front of the camera. I'm sorry. There's no
consistency. I thought the Bengals coach was very – I thought he handled himself well. I would have blown a gasket. I would have blown an absolute gasket. And you know what? He had every right to, because to be honest, like even the last play, I get it. It was a penalty when he pushed Mahomes out of bounds.
Yeah.
But like considering how many calls seem to go against the Bengals, it's like at some point, let something go.
And how many calls didn't go their way? That punt return by Sky Moore to set up that field goal. There was a blatant block in the back on that punt return. I see them call that every single punt and kick return all year long. They don't call it. How about when Burrow got buried on that one pass? They didn't call a roughing the passer. I've seen guys get sneezed on this.
Wow, Brady.
You get a roughing the passer.
Brady,
call.
You just tap them and they fucking.
That's what I'm saying. So the consistency, and that's why I go back to the consistency. The consistency just simply isn't there. And I just hope that it doesn't get to the point where everything's going to be like soccer and it's going to go to video review. Everything's going to go, every penalty is going to go to video review because it's so inconsistent all over the league that I don't know what direction they're going to turn.
I think what they got to do is they got to get the NFLPA together, get all the officiating crews, and they got to go through an overhaul and just say this is how we're calling it. Because, you know, I feel like sometimes you watch a game and some crews, they let them play. Even pass interference, they'll let them kind of get after it. And then sometimes it's like you watch another game and it's like this can't be the same league.
No, last night is a night you have to let them play. It's a championship game. This is not a regular season game. It's a championship game. You don't, you have to let them play a little bit more. Those are the rules. Like, that's the way it's always been done.
It was rough. It was very, very rough.
By the way, really, Bob, you went 2 for 2.
I called Joe before the Sunday game started. And I said, Joe, I just want you to let you know, we're not going to bet any of the games. We're not going to bet.
I didn't touch the thing.
But I have never been so certain that the Eagles will cover and the Chiefs will cover. The reason being is because we're not going to take it. But that's the way that it's going to shape out.
All over.
If we had been on it, Bob, we would have lost both.
For sure. They would have got killed. Patrick Mahomes, the ankle would have flared up. We really are. We are as cold. We are, man. I mean, look, you got Mikey V with the only subs going behind the
scenes. Had a good first game at the Eagles every which way, first half in the game. But that second game, they were both – sitting on two touchdowns. I had both the touchdown over props for both teams over 2.5. They sat on two touchdowns at the end of the third quarter. Neither team scored a touchdown in the fourth quarter. Over, I mean, every under's flying in. There's no overs this year. It's the year of
Bob,
the under.
You just bet every under for the last
year of the under, Bob. It's just, your year, really, it is.
We are. You would think. You
it's
would
the
think.
Year of the under.
All right, fellas. Again, Ryan Clark will be joining us shortly. So I do. Now, we're going to be doing the top five with Ryan Clark, which is going to be interesting. I think that's the right way to do it. I really
did he respond to you, Mikey V?
Yeah, he said, no, like 10 minutes ago, he said.
Is he a good texter, Mikey V?
Yeah, he's a good texter. He's, you know, right to the point. Ryan Clark, very businesslike. Right to the point.
I could see that.
But you know what? I guess he has to be because this guy's everywhere. I turn on the TV, this guy's on like, he's on every show. I don't even know how he does it.
He's wearing a suit every time, too.
Yeah, I know. I do. He's a sharp guy.
His
sharp
suit guy. Game, by the way, you talk about
strong
just,
suit game.
He's a good looking guy, man. He really
didn't wear his suit for the Brilliant Dumb Show?
Wow. That'd be sick. That'd be it. I hope
I don't see that happening.
That'd
I'm going to be
so
honest. I don't see that happening.
Sick. If he was just
like
coming.
Jackasses. He's going to have a 3-piece suit on.
Oh,
looking fresh.
Man. That would be so sick. We got a lot to get into him, but we got 12 minutes before he comes on. Fellas, you know what that time it is. Can I get a little bit of a drum roll here, please? Boys, it is our buy and sell segment. What did we see that we liked this week? What did we not like this week? Who do you want your stock in? Joey D, I raise that question to you.
Well, we talked about it. I'm selling the officiating from this week. And it's not just the NFL. I don't know if you watched the Lakers game the other night. Now, LeBron threw a little hissy fit afterwards.
Oh,
but
yes,
I got to be honest. He absolutely got slammed the last play of the game against the Celtics. Went up for a layup, got smacked by Tatum. They didn't call a foul. Game should have been over. Should have had at least one free throw made. Then I watched on Sunday. That was on Saturday. Then I watched Sunday, the football games, and just missed call after missed call to the point where I don't know if watching that, it makes me never want to bet again. Because it's like, if I was on the Bengals yesterday, I would have been so pissed because everything in my aura told me towards the end of that game when it seemed like the Chiefs couldn't do anything. I was like, the Bengals are going to win this game. And that was with everything that they had to overcome. You hate to see the game sway in one way or another, you know, based on bad officiating. And it was an overload. This whole weekend was just so evident to me. So to me, I guess I'm just selling bad officiating because it just ruins. It ruins the games. And to be quite honest, it's like, it makes me not want to bet if games are rigged or whatever you want to call it. It makes me think it's hard enough to already win to begin with. Add in an element of bad officiating. It's like, I don't know.
The only thing I'll say about the officiating, though, that I think people take for granted is how fast the games are moving and how bang bang these calls are. And when officials make a good call, nobody says a peep. There's never been a time where they said, man, that was very well officiated. Yeah. You never get that. You only get the bad one. So when a bad call takes place late in the game, and yes, I agree, Joe, it was so bad. But when a call gets made, it's highlighted all over. It's kind of a lose-lose situation for them. They've never said, wow, that was officiated very well.
I always say a well-officiated game is a game where you don't even notice the officials are in there.
That's exactly right, Joey.
Very accurate.
Like they should. They very should well do, said. They should make the calls that are blatant. And aside from that, you shouldn't really notice them having an impact on the game.
That's fair. I think they would agree with that too, actually. I think they absolutely would. Mikey V, let's send it over to you.
I'm gonna buy this new show on HBO. A lot of people were hyping it up.
I know what you're talking about.
Quite frankly, a lot of out-of-pocket talk saying that the show.
Hold on, we're gonna do a three count. Joey D thinks he has it.
I know.
Let's call it a three count. On three, gentlemen.
One, two, three. The Last of Us. Yeah. Yeah. A lot of people were talking out of pocket. I felt they were saying this show, you know, one episode had come out and they're like, it's better than The Sopranos. It's better than The Wire. It's better than Game of Thrones. I'm like, all right, it's better than Breaking Bad. I'm like, let's pump the brakes. I got to tell you, now I'm caught up. There's been three episodes. I've watched all three of them. The first 20 minutes of that first episode, I literally had anxiety that I have rarely experienced from a television show. For the first 20 minutes solid of that show, I had like painstaking anxiety watching the first 20 minutes. Incredibly done. This Pedro Pascal, this guy can do no wrong. Everything this guy touches turns to gold. He's incredible, this guy.
Yeah.
And the show, I don't buy into these zombie apocalypse shows, really. I wasn't a big Walking Dead guy, Resident Evil. I'm not, like, really into that. This show, for whatever reason, is done in a way in which it's just so fantastic so far. If you have not watched it yet, I would seriously consider watching it because I really think it's worth your time. The episodes are fantastically done. The character development, story development's been superb so far. The Last of Us, Bobby, I know there's no chance you're going to, but for all the other listeners and viewers out there,
I do have a show, Mikey V, too. By the way, you're spot on. It's a great buy. It's an amazing show. I forgot to watch the episode last night. I'm going to watch it right after we finish this podcast tonight. Another show I started watching with Nicole is Your Honor with Bryan Cranston. I don't know if you've watched that.
I've seen the preview for it.
That is an unbelievable show too. Okay. Couple of real bangers.
That Ryan Cranston guy, he doesn't miss often, huh?
No, Bob, you would love this show. This guy, look up Your Honor. I tell you what, Bob, if you don't like it, I would be shocked.
By the way, I gotta address the Bobby Blockbuster this week. And fellas, I apologize. The show deserves better. I think you boys deserve better. Look, it's been a hit, and I really want to keep going, and it will keep going. I started Braveheart, and I shit you not, I did it last night. I was out within 5-10 minutes, and it's not even
that bad in the first.
I tell you this right.
No,
now.
No. No,
segment's got to end. Bobby Blockbuster's got to end. Yeah, 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 we're not getting a fair shake. We're not getting a fair shake.
The hottest segment on the show.
Yeah, whoa, needless, be that as it may, Joe.
Hold on.
It's the hottest segment. I get more DMs for Bobby Blockbuster.
Yeah, it's crazy. That's crazy. That's not fair. By the way, he did this the other week.
He's disappointed you, Bob. He's disappointed for a right
week. He should be. He should be. But
nothing
changes,
Joe, every week.
But hold on, Mikey. I'm not saying that it's because of the movie. I was saying that that was because of me.
Have one job for the next week is to watch the movie.
Guys, this is a long movie.
Bob, you have an entire week to watch one movie.
I ate three fucking breakfasts. I had to hear about it this morning on Instagram. He ate three breakfasts. He didn't have time to watch Braveheart. He had three separate breakfasts.
An entire week. It's not like you're working 15 hours a day, Bob.
It's a long movie.
It certainly is a long movie, Bob.
Can we be honest, though, Bob? If we do continue, you got to watch.
1,000%.
So many people are going to feel vindicated by this because so many people DM me saying Braveheart is a horrible pick. He's never going to make it through. It's too long.
It's a great movie.
I was seeing those DMs because I was getting them too, and it really
headspace. You weren't
1,000%. But it's not because of the movie, by the way. So I do have to watch it this weekend. I'm sorry. And that's why it's almost good that
Let me ask you this, Bob. If you played in the NBA, right, and you had to take a free throw for your team to take the lead in, let's say, the conference finals, game seven, you're on the free throw line, hostile territory. You're playing for, let's say you're playing for the Knicks, okay? You're a Jersey guy. Let's say you're playing for the Knicks and you're in Beantown. You're in Boston, game seven, conference finals. You're on the line. You got one shot. To give your team the lead, you got to make that shot. You're getting heckled now. Are you going to make that shot, you think? You're going to get the yips because you're telling me the DMs are affecting your movie watching ability. I'm starting to question now. Are you going to get the yips on the free throw line?
I think that's a ludicrous analogy and comparison. I'm making the shot. I don't think it has anything to do with watching Braveheart. And by the way,
that was a strong answer.
It's on me. I will watch it this week. Did it deter me a little bit from it? Yes, but I think
we have to go with a new movie though.
I have one today.
Whoa.
And by the way, I've been writing down lists.
Okay. Braveheart is a 0 out of 5 bagels for did not participate. Bobby gets a DNP on Braveheart.
Braveheart's over. Okay. All right. Go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, you're not going back to that well.
You know, if he was in college, Joe, and he told the professor, listen, I fell asleep. You know, it's not that I didn't want to watch it. It's just that I didn't have time and
it's
I fell asleep.
Go ahead. You were on a roll. Let's hear the movie.
He's not even writing a syllabus. It's like the guy has to watch a movie with some popcorn. Exactly like we're putting him through the ringer.
I do find it a little bit disrespectful that Bear Down tried to bury the segment. This is two times now. This time was a little more worth it. You tried to bury the segment.
I have a movie this week.
Limitless.
No. I have a movie this week, and I'm going to go on a limb and say I'm going to give it an 80% chance that Bob approves this movie.
This is interesting.
And really likes it. It is an Academy Award-winning Best Picture film in 2019.
Wow.
It was nominated for 5 Oscar nominations and also had a Best Supporting Role won by Mahershala Ali. Okay.
Green Book.
It is an inspirational movie.
Yeah, good movie.
Feel-good movie. It's great from start to finish.
Yeah.
The Green Book.
Green Book's a good movie.
This goes on every single thing. You wanted something along the Pursuit of Happiness lines.
This is right there.
Mm-hmm. It's inspirational, great acting, great story based on a true story. I would be shocked if Bob did not like Green Book. I saw the suggestion and I'm like, this is absolutely going to hit.
It's set in the era of Nicky Diamonds where he thinks he's living currently, Bob. So I think this is going to really resonate with you. I really do. I think that's a great pick.
Let me tell you something, Joey.
It's a great pick. It's a sneaky pick.
He could be on to something because, Mikey, you didn't even flinch.
Absolutely awesome movie.
No, Green Book is a really good movie. Good movie.
All right.
Bob, it's right up your alley. And please, just try.
No, I will. No, I will.
I'm not giving you a shitty movie. I'm giving you a best. It won an Oscar for best picture.
Joe, I'm in. I'm 100% in. And I actually, I don't think that I should get to go back to the well on Braveheart. I don't. And with that being said, I also would like to give a shout out to the followers who I think have been instrumental. I mean, to this, they really, really.
They really want to see Bob enjoy cinema.
I appreciate that. I really, really do. What are you rolling your eyes at for, Mikey B?
Beardo looks like a disappointed dad.
He wants the segment done. I think that's terrible. People are loving the segment.
Every week is the same thing. Every week. It wasn't for me.
Mikey?
I watched it on an airplane. I couldn't get into it.
I get that I'm very difficult. With that being said.
Oh, you're difficult.
It's not like there's movies out there that I don't like. It's not like I'm the Grinch of movies.
I mean,
that's not a bad comparison.
If your choice of women was as tough as your choice of movies, it's going to be hard for us to find you a match.
Oh,
fair enough.
But it's not. It's not. Bob. By the way, Bob's a great catch. Any eligible bachelorettes out there?
Yeah, thank you, Joe. Yeah, I appreciate that. Bob's a great catch. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
This is you file this under one of the sickest things I've ever heard.
Unbelievable. Look, I get that I'm tough. I get that I'm tough,
when it comes to movies, really, which is bizarre.
But not sports movies. Bizarre. If it's a sports movie,
he'll watch anything. He'll watch fucking Air Bud before he watches Braveheart.
By the way,
Air Bud, you talk about a great movie. That's a great movie. Yeah. Yeah.
I thought Air Bud was really good.
Yeah.
I thought Air Bud was very, very good. Can I hit my bye before Clark comes on to the show? We've pumped his tires before, and for good reason, because he's unbelievable. Friend of the program. One of the hardest working guys in the business. I'm going to buy Big Cat as one of the better interviewers I think that I have ever heard.
Happy birthday, Big Cat.
It's a total different style of interviewing. Like, to me, the number one interviewer of all time is Howard Stern. But did you hear Big Cat with Stephen A. Smith?
Yeah.
Is that not one of the fun? There's so many times in his interview with him where Stephen A. Smith has no idea that he's spoofing him. You know what I mean? Where he's kind of spoofing him, and then he can do this thing where he can then ask, he could take it to a whole nother direction where he asks a very serious question, like a very serious question that the way he asks it, he puts it like on a platter to where they have to answer it.
Yeah.
I just think he's unbelievable.
Caleb Presley's really good too.
Yeah.
I mean, he's unbelievable. That's a whole different type of like
the
style.
Sunday conversations. Like it's
the best. I mean,
he
it's really good.
Stephen A. too, and it was really good.
Yeah, it was. Hysterical. Yes, it was.
Yeah.
By the way, Bob, as an honorable mention, I just want to give a big shout out to our guy, a friend of the pod, Max Homa, for winning in it. I mean, that was pretty special to watch this weekend with two of our guys. I know you're not a huge golf guy, Mikey B, but two guys we played with recently, Max Homa and Keegan Bradley, they went 1-2 in the tournament. And
I saw.
It was so awesome to see. No, Bob?
Yeah, it really was. And by the way, just the definition of class. Really is. I mean, just class ass.
Don't take that out. Leave that in. That's too good. Leave that in.
All right, fellas, without further ado, let's bring in the big fella himself. Long awaited. The one, the only, Ryan Clark. Let's get down to business. Warm round of applause. Let's bring on the big man himself. Mikey V, put it together. Joey D, put him together. Nice, warm introduction. Long awaited here for the boys.
There he is.
Ryan Clark. Look at the big fella right there. Ryan, I got to ask you right out of the gate, okay? I almost think that you work harder even at ESPN than you did in the NFL. ESPN's working you to the bone.
You know what's crazy, bro? They actually don't. I just travel a ton. Right? Like, I don't work a lot. Dan works more than me. Marcus works more than me. So the problem with my schedule is this. My son plays for Arizona State. So on Saturday, I'm West Coast, wherever he's playing. He's in the Pac-12, right? I either take a red eye or the first flight out to New York to watch the games in studio Sunday. I work Monday morning in New York. Then that night I work in DC. Then the next day I work in Connecticut, and then I work Friday from home. So it's basically
sounds like a lot of work.
It's a lot of travel. I'm on planes more than I'm on TV. And so the thing is this, right? You're on Monday morning, right after the game. So people are locked in. And then you're on after the Monday night football game on SVP. So I have good slots. So it makes it feel like I'm on TV way more tonight.
As I said before we started, it's got to be difficult because Bob was asking me, he was like, you know, is he good? Was he good getting back to you? And I was like, yeah, he is. I go, he's right to the point. He's very businesslike. I said, but this guy, every time I turn on the television, I said, no matter what channel it is,
everywhere.
I could turn on the Home Shopping Network and Ryan Clark's there selling me something, which is really quite remarkable.
Nah, you know what's crazy? Just when I read text messages, if I don't have to say a lot, I don't.
That's the best way to approach it.
I like that.
Yeah, like honestly, bro, I'm tired of talking most of the time.
Yep.
You know, and so if I can have a shorter communication, I kind of rather that, because you know how it is too. You know, you guys are in the business now. No matter what your day is like, if you got on here and you were drab and you were boring and you were down, it wouldn't resonate with people. So you got to almost be able to turn on no matter what's going on in your life. And unfortunately, sometimes stuff actually goes on in your life.
Sure does.
Yeah.
You know,
believe it or not.
But you know what's amazing, Ryan, is that like, okay, is ESPN cognizant, because they're able to keep it fresh as they change shows. A lot of it is the same different topics of conversation. Do you like, are the different shows kind of cognizant of what the other ones were talking about to try and keep it fresh?
No, I don't think necessarily they try to keep it fresh in the sense that they care about their show.
Yeah. Right.
Right. So Get Up. And you watch Get Up, bro. Like, we're going to talk about the Dallas Cowboys. You know what I mean? Because they rate, right? And it's frustrating sometimes as an analyst, because if the Jacksonville Jaguars have a great game, I want to talk about that.
Right.
Right? Like, I want to talk about their comeback versus the Los Angeles Chargers. But neither of those organizations have a great fan base. Those people aren't locked in to Get Up. And so they'll give you the data of how much retention we have when we tease that the Cowboys are coming up next, no matter how much other fan bases are upset, we're always talking about them. And so if the Cowboys rate and the Cowboys have a big game or something happens, you're going to talk about them on the first show. And guess what? You're going to talk about them on the second show too, because Stephen A. loves talking about the Cowboys.
Oh, sure does.
Right? And so you got to do that all day. Now, I will say this. NFL Live, once they went to a roster or a cast of people that are similar every day and they don't bounce us around like they used to, they give us a lot of say on that show.
Right.
Like that show is about teaching. That show is about hitting the most important football topics, not necessarily always the hottest topics as it pertains to the viewers and the ratings. And I believe that's why we're able to touch people in Buffalo or people in San Francisco, is because we're willing to talk about what's the most important thing in football.
Yeah, you could tell when you're doing the shows that you not only are you comfortable doing it, but that you like doing it. How long, when you were in the league, did you have an idea that you had the sauce to be able to go on TV, or is it when you started doing it?
bro, you know what's so, like, what's crazy is I look back at, like, when I first started, and I was so bad. You know what I mean? Like, I was really trash. You know, I think about, and that's crazy because, like, I was the first active football player with a TV contract. You know, I worked for ESPN for 2 years before I retired. I was doing hits on Tuesday when I signed.
When you were with Pittsburgh still, right?
Yeah. But when I signed with Washington, you know who broke the news I signed with Washington on ESPN? Me.
Like, what better source could that come from?
Yeah, bro.
Like, myself.
Yeah, bro. I was
signing
outside,
a deal with Washington.
Bro, literally.
That must have been a hell of a story.
I signed. I walked outside, I grabbed the microphone and got on TV because I signed that day and DeSean Jackson did as well.
Well, you had information no one else did.
I had the inside info, bro. And so, it's been an evolution because I can be honest, when I first started, I wanted people to realize I was actually smart.
Right.
You know, I wanted them to know I studied football and that I cared. And it was Josina Anderson one day who covered me in Washington. She goes, "I wish people knew how funny you were." And I was like, "What you mean? I'm hella funny." You know what I mean? I was like, "I'm funny to all these people I work with." And she was like, "You're just not yourself." And like, that was the day that stuck out to me because I was like, she's probably right. Like, I'm so focused on how people perceive me and what points I could get across from my study. I'm not just relaxing and doing it. And man, like when I started doing that, things went well. And like now I just don't really care what people think. Like, it's like, you're gonna like it if you like it, you're not gonna like it. Most people don't like when you don't talk good about their team anyway. So who am I trying to please?
Tell you what, if somebody doesn't like you, they're gonna have a hard time watching ESPN because you're
Yeah, they better pan over to Fox because you're gonna see a lot of Ryan.
Maybe it's FX for them or something else, you know.
Now, with that being said though, do you, because like from us, like obviously we're big sports fans, so we spend our days with you guys. So it's such a crucial part of what we're watching, and we could talk about different personalities on sports. Are there some guys, and I wouldn't ask you to name any names, are there some guys that you've seen where they might have been a great football player, so they get the nod to come over to ESPN that don't really have it?
I mean, yeah.
Bob, all the time.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know right out of the gate.
I don't, you know what? So here's what I'm gonna say. I can't say you know right out of the gate, because there have been some guys who are still in the business who are good when it starts. Or maybe I feel they're even better than I was when I started, and they don't progress, right? Like they don't get better.
That's a great point.
Like I feel like they stay in the same spot, because a lot of dudes get a job early because they are good right away. Now it's like, what do you add to your tool belt? How does your studying increase? How do you get your personality across? Can you entertain? And also the other piece of it is too, which is like vitally important, bro, is like, there's no way you three are the same every day, all the time, about everything.
It's true.
This is just not real life. You know what I'm saying? And so if I'm really excited, or if I'm really passionate about something, I have to show that. But then there may be something that I'm not necessarily extremely passionate about, and I have to be able to have and deliver my information in that tone as well. Yeah. Or it may be the Damar Hamlin situation, which is totally out of the realm of anything any of us have ever experienced. And I just got to be a freaking human and just experience those emotions on TV in front of the world.
And you were on with SVP after that night, right?
I was.
Yeah. And me and Bob, we had talked about how remarkable we thought that was. That segment with SVP in particular, to humanize it, because like you said, I've never watching football over 30 years. I've never seen anything like that on the field before. And to hear the way you broke it down, I thought it was just so
thank
remarkable.
You, appreciate that.
To the point, you know.
Appreciate that.
The thing that I think about too is like, first off, of course, everybody was so shell-shocked, but like, you guys never prepped to be on at that point, right? I mean, to where it's like they panned you, and like, it's almost like you guys are going through it too.
Yeah.
To where that, I agree with Mikey, that it was just amazing the way you were able to handle that with zero preparation.
Yeah, I think though, that's probably the best way to handle that. I think having the ability to have a day to process it wouldn't have made it as raw for me either. Right. I think the authenticity of me experiencing it with the world at the same time.
Yeah.
Right. And it was almost as like, it's a terrible situation, but I do count myself lucky, and I feel blessed that I was the one there, because it gave me an opportunity to tap into something that not every football player has dealt with. Like, I almost lost my life playing football, you know, and there aren't many other players that can be like, nah, I know what it's like to have a doctor say, we don't know if you're going to make it, or we don't know if you're ever going to play again, or you're going to have to go play in this place and be willing to go play again. Like, I just remember all those things. And so I got to kind of relive those moments while I was also processing what I saw with Damar. And I got to share that with the world, which I think gave them an opportunity to just see him as a human and not as a football player. And like, that's a night, you know, I'll always remember.
And for our listeners and viewers who may not know about that story about you, Ryan, and correct me if I'm wrong anyway, but you had to get your gallbladder and spleen removed mid-season after a game against Denver in 2007. Mm-hmm. I believe, or 08, or was it?
07. It was 07, yep.
So 2007, and then that, I would assume that's what you're referring to when you're saying that you didn't know if you were going to get the chance to ever play.
Yeah, and like that was, and mine was so different, you know, because I was asked about like how the support helps Damar recover, you know? And like, I remember when I was cleared to play, in January. I had the surgery in November. I was actually injured on like Halloween, I think it was around that time. And they basically said, okay, you're healthy enough to play based on your internal organs. We just don't know if you'll ever be strong enough. That's up to you. And, you know, I'm sure you guys have worked out at least once in your lives.
not much more.
My buddy's been video documenting his workout routine every day.
We got Rocky in the white outfit chat down here. There. Yeah. Never seen anything like it.
Bro, so when we played Denver that night, it was a primetime game. I was 205 pounds. When I had my surgery a month later, I was 160 pounds.
Oh, my God.
Right? And so, because what happened was, I had what's called the spleen infarction, which part of my spleen died because I had a sickle cell attack in Denver based on the altitude, having a sickle cell trait or whatever, and it just got infected. And so, when it got infected, it was four times the size of a regular spleen, which means I had no stomach, right? Because it smushed my stomach, so I couldn't eat. I never wanted to eat. So I was 160 pounds then. By the time I was cleared to work out, I was like 165 pounds, right? And we're talking about, you know, 205 pound football player who could clean over 350, could squat a house, could bench a house. The first day I was training, I'm with my trainer, my head strength coach, Garrett Guimont at Pittsburgh. I was 165 pounds and I couldn't do a pull-up. And I don't mean like I couldn't do pull-ups. I couldn't do one. Right. And when I was asked about that and Damar and the support, thing is, nobody's there at that time. Right. Like, nobody's going to be cheering. Nobody's going to be giving him hearts and all those things. Yeah. And it just made me think about it, man. Like, my doctor, which is cool, which he looked just like Tom Brady, my surgeon. Yeah. Right. And like, that's what I called him. I was like, hey, Dr. Tom Brady. Just because, like, you need
the goat surgery.
Just what you want to see the doctor, too.
I agree.
You just need something to laugh about when you're in there. You know what I mean? So I was like, it figures, like, my doctor would look like Tom Brady as much as he's beating me.
Yeah.
You know? And, man, so the morning they took me to surgery, I had, like, this weird – and if I'm talking about this too long, y'all can cut me off.
No.
I had this weird, strange, infectious disease doctor. And I had these bulbs, right, that stuck in me to drain. And she would come smell them like two or three times a day. Because, and she would like, she loved it, bro. She was foreign. And she was like, oh my gosh. And she'd be like shaking it around. Like it was.
I did not see that.
Yeah, like
I just didn't see that going there. Bro,
like a sommelier with a glass of wine.
Bro, it was so bad, vintage. Bro. And she was like, yeah, that's infection. But she was dead set on finding out which infection it was. And I was like, I don't really care. Like, just get it out of me. And so, man, it's so Friday, Thursday night, I prayed. I was like, God, just tell me when I need to say something to my doctors. So I call him a doctor. His name's Stan Marks. He worked at the Cancer Institute in Pittsburgh. And I was like, Doc, I need a test. I was like, something's wrong with me. And I was like, and I had seen him like 4 or 5 times. And he wasn't in town. And you could tell in his voice, though, he was like, whatever, bro. Like, go. Like, they'll be waiting for you. Go take the test. He calls like an hour or so later, calls my wife, and he goes, hey, where are you guys? And I could hear her saying, well, we're on the way home. He says, don't go. He's like, somebody with your kids. She was like, yes, my mother-in-law is here. Turn around, go to the hospital. They're waiting on him. And I pull up to the hospital. Everybody's outside. They bring me upstairs. So that's on Friday. So Tuesday morning, he comes up. Like, my fever was like 104 the night before. Tuesday morning, I was in the bathroom crying, right? I was on the floor crying. And my wife's sitting on the floor with me. And like the whole time, like other than like when Troy Polamalu came to see me, like I hadn't cried. I was on the floor crying, bro. And I just told my wife, I was like, I'm done. I was like, I'm ready. It's like, I'm tired of fighting. Mm-hmm. And he walked in and I looked up at him and he looked down at me. And this is the doctor. And y'all can edit this if y'all need to. And he was like, fuck that, I'm taking you now. And I get off the floor. He orders the surgery, and that's when I went to surgery, and they took my spleen out, and it was supposed to be quicker, and they didn't get it, so they couldn't get my gallbladder at the time, and they thought they might have to. And then like 3 weeks later, I started throwing up at the house. He's like, I figured we were gonna have to take it. They took my gallbladder. I think a piece of my liver was taken when they took my spleen. And then, you know, the doctor comes in the day after, they sent me to the hospital, the day after I have the surgery, and he says, had you not called me on Friday, you'd have died this weekend.
Holy shit. Makes you wonder, eh? It's just like, life is pretty fragile.
Do you, with just how grueling the game is, you see all these injuries, and like even Thursday night football, you see all these players getting hurt because they don't have time to recover. Do you look at the game now or like look back on your career, and are you almost like thankful in the sense of, you got in financially, I'm sure you did very well for yourself.
I did.
You seem healthy right now. You have this great second career. Is there a sense of relief that you got out of the game? You know what I mean?
You know, so it's like, you never think about it though. You know, I started playing football like in pads when I was 4 years old. I never thought about it. Like, I just did it. Like, when we were playing, we used to call it throw up tackle. Like, when they would throw the ball up and I would get it, I knew exactly what to do with it. You know, like, nobody ever said, hey, no, you jab step this way, or you cut this way, or you move this way. I just knew those dudes weren't supposed to tackle me. I'm going to do whatever I have to do for them to not tackle me. I knew when they caught it, my job was to run him down and get him on the ground. Like, that was it. And the game stayed that pure to me throughout. And I don't miss football ever. Like, I've never watched a game and I'm like, oh my gosh, I miss the locker room. I miss it because I don't, you know. But there's like once every maybe month, a running back or a wide receiver like does something, like runs over a DB or catches a ball and drags the DB and like flips the ball and dances or something. And something in me goes, I wish I could split him in half.
Yeah.
Right? Because that was the game to me. You know what I mean? Like, it's it was like the one place in the world where I got to test my toughness against other people who fancied themselves the toughest men in the world. And so when you play a game like that and you got to put yourself in that mindset, you don't think about getting hurt. You know, I said it the night I was talking about DeMar. At 24, bro, I didn't know I could die.
Yeah.
I just didn't. Like, there was, like, I'm older now, and now I actually think about death, you know? And one, because I almost died. But I'm just saying, you know what I mean? Like, I actually think about death now. We're like, dang, you know? Like, what will my wife think of me? What will my kids think of me? You know, was I a good son? Was I a good husband? Was I a good father? Like, I think of those things now. But when you young, bro, you don't think of that. And then, like, you know, you mentioned, like, the money when I was sick. There was a day, man, like I couldn't stop shaking because I was really cold. And my mom was there and she's like rubbing like blessed oil on my head and praying for me. You know, I got one of those like super black praying moms that think like prayer wards off everything. I'm like, mom, like honestly, it's the flu. Like you could pray, but I bet you if you gave me some, like if you gave me some medicine, I'm pretty sure sure, mom, that this medicine might help as much as the prayer, at least, you know?
Yeah.
And man, I remember I was like, oh, this is it. Like, this is what dying feels like. Cause this was before my surgery. And like I said a prayer, I prayed for my wife and that she'd find a good husband and like somebody that was like good to her, that wasn't more handsome than I was. That was my only stipulation to God. I was like, bro, like dog, you about to take me at 28. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can at least let her marry like an average looking dude, like 6, you know, like that. I don't want that to be part of my legacy. And then, you know, I prayed for my kids because I have a son, 2 daughters. I prayed that my daughters grew up, you know, safe and like found good husbands and were blessed. And I prayed that my son was just so much better than me and everything. And then, bro, I prayed for my soul and I said it. I was like, okay, I'm ready. And I stopped shaking. I was no longer cold. Like, it was one of those like surreal moments. But it was a moment also too that let me know that like all this other stuff that we get consumed with in the world, when we are on our ways out or think we are, you actually don't think about it. Like, I think about like cars or houses. I think about Super Bowls or football. Like, I think about none of that because you don't get to take nothing with you. You know, you think about like you realize like how small of a group of people are actually going to miss you. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Like, it's cool to have like the social media fanfare and all those things and like have these people, oh, it's so great what you did, right? But like in general, think about like all the people we have admired throughout life who are no longer here.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying?
You know how the guys always get pegged as like guys always like over exaggerate when they're sick. Like, women are really, you know, that's the thing. Like, women always exaggerate, you know, they've been through pregnancy and childbirth. And then when a man gets a tummy ache, they make it seem like, well, I'm in the midst of a little sickness now. So, but to me, like, so when I get sick, though, Ryan, exactly what you're saying, like the only thing, and it could be the littlest thing, is like the flu or a head cold, whatever it is. The only thing I want, and my daughter is only not even 2 years old. My son's 4. The only thing I want is just, I just want my kids to lay on me and watch movies all day. That's all I want when I'm sick. Yeah. That's it. I don't want to talk to anybody. I don't want to see anybody. I don't need anything else. But just but like you said, your kid, because you hit the nail on the head. So few people actually give a fuck. Really, yep. the everybody could appear that they do, and the group is actually so small that actually truly does. When push comes to shove, and all the glitz and glamour is gone, and it is you just by yourself alone crying on a bathroom floor, and that happens to everybody, whether it's through depression, a real life situation like you went through where you almost literally lost your life, or just some other people who are just battling other demons or depression. Because and I think that's just so powerful, and we're not going to edit shit out of that. That's all going in. None of that is coming out, because we don't filter anything like that out. So that's incredible.
One of the things that you said, Ryan, that actually kind of hits home is you watch these guys. And I think sometimes as a consumer of football, we see such great athletes play all the time that we just take it for granted. So we see Alvin Kamara, you know, doing his spins and these guys hurtling. We just kind of come to expect it. And it's interesting because, like, as average guys, you know what I mean? You kind of wonder, like, how would I be if I was inserted into a game? So I have an actual little bit of a funny question, because we had a segment not too long ago, and our dear friend Mikey V, he's a big strapping young lad. He's what, 6'6", Mikey V?
6'7", 265, Ryan.
Okay, so he's a big boy.
Golly, bro.
I love how he has this.
Ryan, I'm ready to go, cuz. I'm a little older, though. I'm old now. Like,
If we had to put him in a game, how many tackles over under do you think he would make?
Okay.
I mean, to think, like, I would like to hear your answer, because what he thinks he would do compared to...
I'd be playing tight end. I wouldn't be playing defense, Joe. I wouldn't be playing defense. I'm not going to allege myself to be fast enough to play defense. I play tight end. I can play the Y. Or you tight end, maybe. I can play a little tight end.
Yeah, and we're going to use him in 12 personnel, right? We bring him on the field with Travis Kelce. We'll allow him to be an inline blocker. You know, he'll be an inline blocker as Travis goes out to the route.
Do you think he's making a catch as a tight end in a game?
Big wingspan, Ryan. Big wing, 38-39 sleeve length. 38-39 sleeve.
Guys, I'm gonna say this, man. He probably could, because you're not asking him to do a lot.
No,
like
right.
to make one catch, like we have to think about what kind of catch is it and all the things that go into one play. It's not one catch.
Ryan, he said he would make three catches and a touchdown.
I think this was on the collegiate level, not on the pro level.
Hey guys, I'm gonna be honest. It's a lot of guys who actually make it to the pros that never get three catches and one touchdown.
Yeah, that's fair.
So now I feel like he's doing a bit much. I was on his team. You know,
I wasn't asking for the touchdown.
Yeah, you had his back, and then all of a sudden,
you had him until the touchdown.
Yeah, he turned
right?
into Jimmy Graham in a few minutes. All of a sudden,
Jesus Christ! Hey, once he turned into old school Keith Jackson, I had to draw.
Hey, okay, Ryan, I got something for you while we're all in the mood, and we gave Mikey B, our dear friend Bear down here, a very hard time for it because. We thought that he might have got a little bit ahead of himself, just like he did with the football thing.
Okay.
And it's this is when we had contact with you, we had a feeling that you had seen the show because we do a buy or sell segment. And after your performance with, you know, after the whole DeMar Hamlin thing and how well you were, I bought you. I said, this guy was unbelievable. It was great and everything. And then we had heard
He saw it.
A week later, though, we do the segment called the Bobby Blockbuster segment where they recommend a movie to me. And one of the movies that they recommended was Scent of a Woman. Then go on Twitter, okay?
Ryan, what are the odds on this? This is a little coincidental.
Let him finish.
On Twitter and you say Al Pacino just told Charlie his plan on Scent of a Woman. This movie is dope. And yes, this is the first time I've seen it. Mikey V decides to tweet at you.
I remember I tweeted him back.
But this was
tweet. Therein Ryan will lie the question. Now just let these two pretzel masters
you hit him hard. Right, he said, Ryan, please let me know honestly, was the reason for watching this film due to the Bobby Blockbuster segment on the Brilliantly Dumb Show? The people need to know. I'll hang up and listen. And this was not the answer he was looking for.
I wasn't interested.
No, I watched Malcolm X and wondered who beat Denzel for the Oscar. It was Pacino. Did you think, man, who does this guy think he is? These guys from the Brilliantly Dumb Show?
Hey, you know what was crazy is, like, when one, I got to stop replying to people. I don't know why.
I like it.
Not to me, though, Ryan. Not to me. We built a rapport.
We have a rapport now. Now I'll just answer y'all because y'all my guys. But so when he said it, I was like, I thought to myself, I don't even know what the hell he's talking about.
That's tough.
Right? I was like, nah, homie, that's not why I did it.
Okay.
You know, and the other piece was this, though. Because I didn't know what you were like referring to, right. I didn't know that you had actually talked about the movie.
Right.
To be honest,
right?
So
okay.
I probably would have had like more correspondence with you if I understood what it was coming from.
Well,
I was answering very matter of factly,
right? And here's what I'm going to say about that. I interpreted the response as number one. These guys went off on a tangent about, Ryan Clark, dirty bag. This guy,
I didn't agree with that.
He buried him underground, 6 feet under, threw the dirt on top of him while he was still breathing. And I said, you know what? I said, if he was going to body bag me, there would have been he would have stonewalled me. No response whatsoever. I thought his response was to the point. It was very cognizant and coherent and concise, if I'm going to be honest. And that's it. I thought there was nothing improper about it. I didn't think it was a shutdown move. I thought it was.
Hey, as you say, cuz I agree with you.
Oh, there you go. See,
thank you, Ryan. Thank you, Ryan.
By the way, Ryan, the movie was good, right? Scent of a Woman. It's a good movie, right?
I thought it was a really good movie. This is what I'll say, and you know, I love movies, so this is great. I thought it was more about Pacino's performance than the movie.
100%. 100%.
Yeah, like 100%. Our friend Bobby thought the movie stunk.
Yeah, too dragged out.
I don't think a movie can stink when someone gives you that great of a performance.
Agreed.
Right? It can't stink, but it certainly wasn't a movie that, like, a lot happened.
No.
You know what I mean? It was just truly Pacino just acting his entire butt off.
Yep.
That made the movie so good, but it wasn't, it's not a movie that I would say, yeah, I put up with the most entertaining of movies. Yeah. But also too, all entertaining movies aren't like Oscar worthy. That just means I enjoy it.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
And I'm glad we put that to rest. That feels very, I feel
vindicated. I got you, bro.
If ESPN didn't have you on for 14 hours a day, I would say the Brilliantly Dumb Show has got a beautiful spot right here.
Yeah.
I mean, you fit right in.
Guys,
you
guys, know what looks nice, Bob, is having the four cameras.
It feels like box.
It's nice. I tell you
what, here's what we'll do, though. I'll come back and visit periodically.
Oh, you know, we love that.
This
love
is terrific. That
yeah, it really
you
is.
Know,
we love that out of you, jump Ryan. On.
Ryan, before we jump into the top five, I have to ask one general football question from Ryan, because it's extremely important to me.
Sure.
Right, Ryan, I've been a fan of this team now for going on 37 years, bro. 37 years, okay? My father, he bestowed this gift upon me. I'm from New Jersey, cuz I could have very easily been a Giant fan, but my dad didn't want me to have it easy. He didn't want me to have it easy. So he made me be a Chicago Bears fan because he was a Gale Sayers, Dick Butkus, Walter Payton. He was one of those guys.
Right.
So this is what I got. This is what I'm stuck with. I have my theories on what they'll do with the 1-1 overall pick. I guess this is a bifold question. I guess it could go either way. Number one, is Justin Fields the guy moving forward? I have my answer. And then the 1-1 pick, do they flip that pick or do they keep it, in your opinion?
I think you flip it, right? I think you flip it because we're talking about a team that isn't one player away from being great.
No.
But if you can add draft picks in this draft and a future draft, I believe that's what you do. It's going to take people to fall in love with one quarterback, whether it's Bryce, CJ, Will, whoever it is, right? And for them to think that somebody else is trying to jump up and get that pick. The hard part is they know, at least I believe they'll know, that the Chicago Bears aren't going to pick a quarterback. And in knowing that, it's like, okay, how do I play that in negotiating for this pick? And as far as Justin Fields, I don't know if you've ever seen me talk. I love Justin.
I have.
I met Justin, bro. I used to coach at the Nike opening, which is the big camp for like all the top high school players in the country. And so you have a 7-on-7 tournament. Justin was my quarterback. And this is going to sound like a lie. If Justin threw... I'm just going to give you a number. If he threw 100 passes in the 7-on-7 tournament, he completed 98 of them. It was fascinating to me. And then, like, because I didn't know a ton about him. And then they tell me, they was like, oh, yeah, but he runs 4-4. Like, he's that, like, actually, he's not just a passer. So I think Justin is a guy you can build around. I believe he has to grow as a passer.
Me too.
For sure.
Yeah.
I've watched him in the offseason work, and here is what I'd say to you. If for someone who's down on Justin, I'd say this. Tell me, after last season, you were more impressed with Jalen Hurts than you are Justin Fields this season. I would say anybody who's not just trying to be a contrarian would say yes. They would also know that Justin Fields is a more naturally talented passer. He has more arm talent. But will he do the leadership things, the intangible things that Jalen Hurts did to become what he was and what he is? And can you add an A.J. Brown? Can you add a Devontae Smith?
That offensive line that they have is
yeah, can you know?
And then you said, and the runner of the foot. First of all, I'm a huge Fields guy because I'm an Ohio State guy. Alum, graduate of Ohio State. But if you watch him at Ohio State, and I say this to everybody that says he's a runner of the football, he's a runner of the football.
He never ran the ball.
He never ran the ball, bro. Because he was behind a rock solid wall. He had Chris Olave, Garrett Wilson, and Jackson Smith and Jigba. And you could just throw, it was unfair. It was like a video game. I'm not saying you could ever achieve that kind of a roster in the NFL because of the cap, but I feel the same exact sentiment, and I was going to use the same exact word, contrarian, on Jalen Hurts. Ryan Clark, five-star guest on the Brilliantly Dumb Show. In my opinion,
I tell you what, Ryan, I mean, this is, yeah, you could have something here. You could have something here. We will end on a lighter note. Now, I'm sure Mikey V told you the deal with the top five. We do it at the end of every show with top five, whatever it may be. Today's top five was actually brought to you by Mikey V, I believe, as well. So, Mikey V, I'm going to let you start off, and you tell the folks what we're going to be doing here today.
Today, we're going to be doing top five desserts. That's top five desserts. In terms of how specific you have to get on the dessert, I don't know how we're going to leave it. We'll have to go to a floor vote if people think it's too vague, too general. Like, if you just say pie. I don't know if that's acceptable to just.
I wouldn't allow.
Okay. All right. So, am I starting, Bob?
I think you start. Yeah, I think you start us off. Okay. We finish with Ryan for sure.
Number five, I'm going to say this: if it's done right, this dessert, it hits. It just does. If the icing is done correct, give me carrot cake at number five. Well done carrot cake is hard to find. But if you find it, it's good.
Warm carrot cake, because I don't like cold carrot cake.
I mean, that's very specific, Ryan. You're gonna really hurt me now. You're dealing with an analyst here, Mike. I will go with a room temperature carrot cake. I'll go with a room temperature
carrot cake. Doesn't make the list. Okay, go ahead.
Number four, I'm gonna go Italian pastries. Number four, the cannoli, shriadelle, Napoleon round. I'm gonna go platter of Italian pastries, fresh. Obviously, North Jersey, a little biased.
That's a very up north East Coast pick.
Yes, it is. 100%. Number three, give me good old ice cream cake with the cookie crumbles. Love a good ice cream cake. I'm not really a cake guy, so when I see ice cream cake come out instead of like that spongy cake, I'm not a big birthday cake person. I'm not. I hate it. So ice cream cake three, classic number two, all-American apple pie. You can't really beat a good piece of apple pie. Well-done apple pie is you'd be hard-pressed to beat that. And then number one overall, and now I might get flack for this, but in my opinion, the number one overall dessert is ice cream. Ice cream in general is the number one overall dessert. If I have to give a specific flavor to ice cream, that's fine, and I will do so. I will do so. But to me, best dessert is that you go out for a dinner. You want to go for ice cream after. That's the question. Go out for ice cream. Now, Ryan is not going to agree with that, obviously. But that's okay.
And not only that, Ryan's ready for this list. I mean, you can just see it. He's ready. That's what we like. Yeah, we do. We're going to send it to Joey D. And then I'll go. And then we finish off with the grand finale.
I love when we do the food top fives, because I specialize in this category like really well, and I feel like I
got Ryan, if he doesn't say so himself.
Well, I eat a lot in a previous life, Ryan, he worked at a Michelin star restaurant, so that was Joey D. Now, Joe, tell him what restaurant. Maybe Ryan was there, you don't even know.
Maybe he was,
he might have been. I was the assistant general manager at the Wolfgang Puck's restaurant in Beverly Hills, Cut Steakhouse.
Oh, that sounds really bougie. And depending on which
I tell you what, Ryan, you could come in wearing one of those suits that you got any day. You fit right in.
One of the best suit games on ESPN. Yes. I'm glad you didn't say that, Joe.
Suit game's real strong.
Yeah.
Real strong. All right, Mikey V. I'm going to take a page out of your book. At number five, I'm going to go with gelato, like a high-end ice cream I think is hard to beat. You could have it in whether you're stuffed and you're full, whether you want something more.
Always room for ice
cream. It just hits every time. Give me gelato at five. At number four, I'm going to go with an Italian dessert, tiramisu. I'm sure everybody's had it. My mom, my Nona, makes the best tiramisu. It's so good. You can't go wrong. At number three, give me chocolate cake. Who doesn't like chocolate cake? There's so many variations. You do lava cake, you do black forest, chocolate truffle. I mean, everybody's got a mom's homemade chocolate cake. You can't go wrong with chocolate cake at three. Number two, this one might win it for me alone, okay? You ready for this? Number two, give me creme brulee.
Cash that one, Bob.
Maybe Ryan Clark doesn't like it. I'll tell you what. A nice creme brulee you can't go wrong with. And at number one, I got to go with, I think it's just the best. Cheesecake for me is a number one staple. I think it's so good. There's so many variations you can do. Cherry cheesecake. You do Oreo. There's so many variations. Give me cheesecake at one. I love my list. I really
big ball drop on the cheesecake.
That's a solid list. That's I like it. Man that worked at a restaurant right there.
For sure. Yeah. Not from the creme brulee, which you didn't like, Ron.
That's terrible.
yeah, look, I do like the list. I do just want to say, Joe, you touched on the Ryan Clark suit game. How many days do you go? Because I don't think I've ever seen you've had to have. You don't really double down on the same suit, Ryan. It's
no,
so the ones I'll double down on are ones that people don't pay a ton of attention to.
Interesting. Right? So more of like basic. So like,
yeah. So like if you wear a gray suit, light gray suit, you change the tie and the shirt, you wear that again 2 weeks later and nobody really knows.
Right.
But if you wear something that really stands out, you got to kind of put that one off to the next year.
Gotcha.
And so that's kind of how I maneuver through my suits.
Yearly rotation, Bob. Oh, you can't hang with that yet.
No, man.
But you're not there yet.
Let me tell you, that's a cool customer right there.
Sure.
That is wow.
It's a big old closet is what that is.
Yeah, that is. Jeez.
It is. And I've actually had to move to using other closets in my house. Yeah. And I have like this big walk-in closet, but the people we bought the house from, they clearly couldn't dress or didn't have a lot of clothes because they didn't design that thing the right way. Yeah.
It might be a ridiculous question and then I'll get off it. Does ESPN do your dry cleaning?
No, I pay for that myself.
That's a big bill.
Whoa. I need to talk to somebody about that, bro. Like,
absolutely.
If you want me to stay this fresh, like, you got to help.
Yeah.
One thing a really dumb show can do for you, Ryan, maybe we get you free dry cleaning.
Oh, take that. Easy. I mean, he's got a lot of suits. I don't know.
Your credit card, Joe.
y'all don't have to pay for it. We just got to intimidate somebody into letting you do it.
Mikey V.
He's 6'7", bro.
You're the biggest guy out of us.
Ryan, just show up the ESPN in shorts and a t-shirt till they start paying for your dry cleaning. You know? All right. I'll get to my list. Basic list, which I'm okay with. I'm gonna, you know, I like what I like. I like the apple pie take. Give me apple pie at 5. I think Mikey V, as much as I do like his list, did drop the ball without the cheesecake on there. Give me cheesecake
big
4.
Big miss.
Give me wasn't on either list. Give me the key lime pie at 3.
Mm.
Big. Mm. And apparently, Mr. Clark. Oh. Look at this.
You can tell that you're hitting his league.
Oh, he's getting a standing ovation.
I like this Ryan Clark. Number 2, basic. Give me the ice cream at 2. I know you didn't like that, Ryan, but I'm with
at
Mikey
2?
V. If it she ain't broke, high. Don't fix it.
It's almost as if Ryan hates ice cream, which he might be the first person I've ever met that
guys,
hates ice cream.
I have here. I'm going to, when I get to my list, I'll
Okay.
It to you.
That's fair. That's fair.
I gotta see this list. And then number 1, nobody had, I could take a lot of heat for it, but it's the OG. Give me the chocolate chip cookie at number 1.
Right? That's not bad, Bob.
I don't see anything wrong with that.
At 1, it's trash. It's trash
okay.
at 1.
Well, there we go.
On the list?
Well, there we go.
Okay.
Cookie's a cheap play, Bob, and a dessert list. That's a cheap play, man.
Greg's has a good chocolate chip cookie. There's a lot of good chocolate chip cookies out there.
All right, so here we go. At 5, key lime pie.
Okay.
Right? That's 5 for me. At number 4, and it has to be hot and with walnuts, brownies.
Oh, that's right.
Brownie's
a good play.
And so, and now here's the kicker, Mr. Oh, Ryan hates ice cream, right?
That's me that he's saying that. Hey, in case anyone needed clarification on that.
The thing is this, guys, ice cream is just a dessert side.
Yeah.
I'm a hot dessert guy. Right. So I don't.
So you're saying ice cream can't stand alone, Ryan?
Ice cream cannot stand alone.
Oh, I don't think that's fair.
That's preposterous.
So think about this. I got the hot brownie with the ice cream with it.
Oh, that's a great play. The a la mode is a great play. I mean, no one's disputing that.
There we go.
Hey, to say a cone of chocolate chip and ice cream couldn't stand alone is upsetting.
So, So number 3, and I'm going to be the only person that has this one for a reason. I'm last off, so I know. Is New Orleans king cake. From New Orleans, king cake is the official cake of Mardi Gras, and you can get it any kind of way you like. I like the pure, it's like the cinnamon roll king cake with the icing on the top. You can get some, it's not sprinkles, I don't even say like the colored sugar. It's just so good. And I just microwave it. You only got to microwave it for 6 seconds. because you microwave it any longer, it's too long. A 6 second microwave, guys, and it is perfection.
You eat the whole, it gets hardened almost.
Yeah, 6 seconds, bro.
I never heard of this. Now I've heard of the beignet. Obviously, that's
big. Beignets great.
Beignets are big.
King cakes. They're okay. Right now. You guys, Mikey, send me your address. I'll get my mom to send you one.
Look at this.
Now, don't try and encamp on the king cake pop.
He will send you that address.
All right, guys.
I might.
Number two. Ooey gooey butter cake.
butter cake's good.
It's game ready to roll.
Never heard it as ooey gooey, but yeah. Butter cake is good.
Mikey, hey. We'll take some of that too.
So it's butter cake, Mikey, but it's almost because it's hot, right? When they cook it, it's almost sticky, right?
So like you a gotta, sticky toffee pudding cake.
Yeah, it's something. Oh, it is so good though. And number one, my dad makes this cake in. Whenever I explain it to people, I always tell them it don't look like much, right? It's like a regular sheet cake, but he uses real lemons, and it's just the softest cake. It's like God came down, like when God left the manna on the grass, he also left this cake. And bro, and it's a lemon cake, right?
Lemon cake, okay.
So I had friends come down. I was an adult man at this time. I had friends come down for the Essence Festival, and my dad's like making this cake, and the cake comes out, and me and like my family are the only people that go get a piece because it don't look like crap, right? It's like just like a white cake, and people was like, oh, it's whatever. So people get a piece, bro. I had a couple. The wife tells the husband, wait, hold on. You had two pieces. I only had one. You can't get two pieces. He starts to make another one. The people are lined up in the kitchen. Wow. That have come down for Essence Festival to eat this cake, bro. It's literally what I think crackheads go through when they see crack, right? Like when Pookie said, it just be calling me, man. That's exactly the feeling you have when my dad makes this cake. And now, stay with me, Mikey V. Guess what? With one, with two, maybe three, but not really three, and four, guess what you eat with it?
Ice cream.
Yeah. RC wins.
No, Ryan, does he put an icing on that lemon cake? Is there icing?
Yes, I'm saying. The icing.
Ryan, do you have a picture of this cake? Because nope. I tell you what, our producer has to put together like a graphic list for all these desserts. And between the king cake, the ooey gooey, and the lemon cake, he's in a lot of trouble. He's sweating.
I tell you what, Mikey, I probably have pictures of all these things in my phone. Wow. And if I don't, I know a lot of people that do. And I will send them to you guys because
I need the lemon cake picture because we'll never be able to find that. I'll find the butter cake. We could find the king cake because it's popular, but the homemade dad's lemon cake, we're never going to find.
So here's the crazy thing about the fact that the top five things are dessert. I'm actually, the top five listeners, I'm actually addicted to sugar. Like, I have a problem.
Ryan, do you know what's so funny? When, before we did this, Mikey said, and I agreed with him, he's like, you know, you see how fit this guy is. He's like, I don't know if he's a dessert guy. He's got to be in the gym. We could not have been more wrong about that.
I have to send you guys a picture. I have a shirt that says I have a homeboy, he owns this company, it's called Tastemaker, and he makes like these teddy bears. It's teddy bears on the shirt, but he dresses them up as like different people. They might be Michael Jordan one day, they might be like me dressed in a suit, Pinky from Friday or whatever. So during COVID, because I was just in the house all the time, I took up running, but I was bored. And so I started watching The Office, and I would eat probably two or three boxes of cinnamon rolls from Tasty Cakes a day while I was watching it. Bro, so much so, Tasty Cakes started sending me packages throughout COVID. And I would be watching The Office, tweeting about The Office, eating these Tasty Cakes. And after the end, at the end of it, I would always put hashtag snacks over everything. And so there's a segment of me doing explain your tweets during COVID, and I'm eating cinnamon rolls and honey buns on TV. And in the Patrick Sertan episode of The Pivot, I actually wear a sweatshirt. It has like a fat teddy bear on it. And his shirt says snacks over everything. S-O-E. You know what I mean? So I am, bro. There are days in my life I have gone without eating food, like actual food, like rice or proteins. And I've only eaten sweets. So,
oh, wow.
That's why you got so many suits. You need
the proper genetics to do that, man.
Yeah.
You got a different type of genetics to do that.
Wow. But I got it.
I also have like a touch of like body dysmorphia. So once I get like, once the my suit pants start sitting tight, fitting tight, I just give
torture
it
torture yourself.
Like
2 weeks. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I just torture myself.
I'm very similar like that. that's perfectly said.
I'll tell you this right now, Ryan, you are welcome on the show. Absolutely. Anytime. We love the work you do, man.
Thank you.
Awesome. You really are. So just keep doing your thing. And anytime you want to come on Monday nights, you say the word, you got an open spot.
Man, I appreciate you guys, man. I hope I didn't bring the show down today.
No, you brought it up and up, brother. Thank you for your time, bro.
Mikey V, if you ever think of any other movies to watch, let me know, man. I have this thing. I have to watch movies that other people consider great or movies that have been nominated for awards.
So yeah, we have one this week, Ryan Clark. We started a segment on the show because Bob doesn't watch much movies, and we're trying to get him like somewhat like educated in the movie world. So the movie that I suggested to him this week, I don't know if you've watched it before. It won an Academy Award, an Oscar in 2019, Best Picture and Best Supporting Actor, Green Book. Have you ever watched that?
Yes.
What are your thoughts on that movie? You think Bob will like that?
I think it's excellent.
There you go.
There you go, Bob.
That's good to know.
I think it is an.
It's a triple endorsement, Bob.
Yeah, yeah, that's as good as it gets.
It's excellent, bro.
Ryan, we'll start a nice little Twitter segment about the movies. I'll turn that into something. I'll weave that into gold, my friend. Don't worry about it. All right,
y'all boys, be good, man.
Thanks for coming on, brother. We appreciate it.
Have a good one, dog.